Lord, we're so thankful that you are always doing a new thing. You're always doing a new thing. Because you are the God of the new, the God of new creations, the God of new breakthroughs, the God of new songs, the God of newness. In you there's life more abundantly, there's new things springing forth all the time, and they're good, and do you not perceive it? And we need to lay hold of it. Lord, just thank you for what you're doing even in this day, in this hour, in this time. Church, I had an experience that happened just a couple of days ago that for me was a powerful picture that reminded me of some things that we're walking through currently. Tracy and I had the privilege of climbing a mountain a couple of days ago, and at the top of this mountain there's beautiful 365 degree vistas all around the Blue Ridge Mountains. It was just absolutely spectacular, and as we got up there on top and enjoyed the hike on the way up, or at least I did, my wife didn't as much, but we got up there and we'd planned just to hang out up there for a while, and we found a little place, kind of a private place, and we sat down and began to just enjoy God's presence and worship a bit and journal and just pray and spend time with the Lord up on this mountaintop. And I looked over to my left and I could literally see that it had been raining a lot, you know, in the days prior, and the mountains were filled with smoke, if you will, you know, just the clouds, and very beautiful, very picturesque. And when we got up, it was clear and it was beautiful and the vistas were amazing, but the clouds had begun to kind of close in on us. And as I looked over to the left, I could literally see the clouds blowing up onto the top of the mountain. I could see it. I pointed it out to my wife. I was like, look at that. You can literally see the clouds moving in among us. And it became very interesting, you know, in just a matter of minutes, what was a beautiful vista could be enshrouded with clouds and just kind of a level of uncertainty and fogginess and not being able to see. And the beautiful mountains in the distance you could see a moment ago, you can't even see now. You're just closed in. And it can be a little frightening, to be quite honest with you. And I just sensed as we were worshiping, the Lord reminded me and the Lord just speaking to me that when it feels like things are closing in and the view is getting hard to see the future, hard to see the things ahead that you were counting on or that you were using as a way marker, you can't see them anymore. Just feel the Lord saying, look at the path. Look at the path in front of you. And follow that path. In fact, the Word of God is just really explicit in saying very powerfully that the steps of a righteous man or woman, they're ordered to the Lord. Just take that step in front of you. Take that step in front of you. Be obedient to move in that step, and then the Lord will show you the next step and the next step and the next step so that you don't have to worry. You don't have to be frightened. Even if you can't see quite like you could see in days past, you can focus on Him, and He is the way maker. Amen. He will lead the way and lead you into good things. In Jesus' name.
Yes. You know, the Lord is, in this last several weeks, I feel like the Lord has spoken to my heart about paths. You know, about the path that He's called us to. In this day and time, the paths look different, don't they? I know yesterday or the other day when we went up the mountain, I would like to say that I enjoyed the path. I did not. First of all, I wasn't in shape to enjoy the path, so that made me mad. And so I was uncomfortable almost the whole entire way up. You know, you have roots and rocks and you trip over them, and that made me mad. And then I found myself grumbling on the path. And this was the path that led to the top. But I was grumbling on the path. I wasn't enjoying the path like my husband. It was bringing him life, and that made me mad too. So I just wasn't in a great place, I guess. So I kept wrestling with the Lord, like, why am I not in a good place? I don't understand it. You know, I just want to encourage you, if you're on a path that you're having a hard time on, you know, don't be discouraged. You know, it was interesting. When I got up there and He finally turned the worship music on, I was like, God, this was worth it. But wow, you know, getting there seemed to be very hard for me. And I struggled along the way. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't get discouraged on the path don't get discouraged. Don't look at the rocks and the roots and the, you know, know that God is with us. And he loves us, you know, even in our grumblings and our not understanding where we are. He does have good things for us. Amen. If we don't give up, he has good things for us.
Amen.
You know, he has a plan and a purpose. Yes. And the reason why we're on the path we're on.
Yes.
He does. And so we need to trust him. And I want to encourage you this morning to trust the Lord. Mm. Trust him.
Yes.
He loves you. He is so for you. He will carry you up that path.
Amen.
And you know what? He'll bless you. He will bless you. And so, Father, this morning, we just love you. We
yes.
just adore you. We thank
yes.
you, God, that
yes.
wherever
yes.
we find ourselves, Lord, whether we're enjoying the path or whether we're struggling, Father, or we're just kind of confused, I just thank you, Lord, that you don't give us confusion. That's not you. Father, you give us a clear way.
Mm.
You give us a clear way, even if it doesn't look like it. And the way that we always look at things, help us to see it the way you want us to see it.
Mm.
Help us to see what you're doing, that we trust you with every step that you're leading us into
yes.
the goodness of God.
Yes.
The goodness of God. You are so good to us.
Yes.
So I pray for encouragement and hope over us this morning. Mm. Father, that we would lean in and listen.
Mm.
Father, that our eyes be opened, our hearts be opened, God. You have new things for us along this path. New ways of walking and new ways of leaning on one another and new ways, God, even in the vulnerability and even in the uncertainty, God, there are things to learn about you that, God, you satisfy our deepest longings, even in places that are hard at times. You always satisfy us, God, with you, with your presence, Lord, and in your presence is fullness of joy.
Yes.
We just thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can you give the Lord praise in this place this morning? Go ahead and just praise him. He's worthy. Amen. He is worthy. Amen. Before you're seated, turn around, give somebody just an air high five. Give them a smile. If they can, well, just let them know you're smiling behind that mask. Give them some thumbs up. And then you may be seated. Welcome, by the way, to New Song. We're happy you're here with us this morning. My name is Pastor Jeff Lamont. This is my wonderful wife, Tracy.
Good morning.
And we're happy that you're here and hope you feel very much a part of this family. Because it is a wonderful family of faith. If you're joining us online, I want you to feel very much a part of the family too, and we're happy to have you today. Here's a little picture
yep.
from that mountaintop experience.
Here we are.
And it was absolutely spectacular all around us. It was so beautiful. And I was really proud of you. You pressed through. And,
hallelujah.
You know, I was
press
just thinking,
through.
Next time we go on a hike, maybe we could just take Joe and Suzanne with us.
Yeah.
And they could, you know, strum and sing as we go up.
Love that. That's
you know?
So good.
They'd
we
like to
that.
Climb a mountain too, I know. Right, Joe?
With
so,
all their stuff.
Anyway. Just a thought. Hey, by the way, in the midst of these challenging times, our missionaries are still laying their lives down for the gospel. They're still doing incredible work all around the world. Some of them intensified because of the virus, and they need your support. Thank the Lord for a $10,000 gift that came in the other day. Praise God for that. And we're going to make that goal in Jesus' name. So there's an easy way to give called Push Pay. There's the instructions right on the slide. And we're going to pray over our offering today. Father,
yes.
thank you for the opportunity to give.
Yes.
Bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, let all the needs be met. And help us, God, to reach people with your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, just a couple of quick announcements. We do have a, let's see, we've got a fuzzy screen, Glenn. Don't run off quite yet. We have a daily devotional and info page on Facebook. Would love for you to check that out. Miss Janine's got a summer fun day coming up for the kids. That's going to be pretty
gonna be
exciting.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And then tell them what's happening there, honey.
All we're right.
Ready to...
Also, ladies on our Revelation Wellness, our ministry is getting ready to kick off the 22nd as
yeah.
well at 10 o'clock. And it'll be on outside on this property. So we're
That's
excited.
Right. And children's ministry, we're going to go ahead and restart our kids' ministries on Sunday, August 23rd. That's going to be exciting. And that same week, our small groups begin. So pray about being a part of a small group, leading a small group, and it's going to be an exciting season.
It's going to be fun.
Well, it's my privilege this morning to introduce to you and have you welcome one of the most incredible men I know, a man that I'm so incredibly grateful for. He's been a true partner in the faith and a great friend, Pastor Burt Moore, back from Alaska, fresh with stories to tell and a word to preach. So give him a good news song welcome, would you? Pastor Burt, come on and share the word.
Such a beautiful time to be in the house of God this morning. So I want to welcome friends. I've got friends that are watching this morning from Nebraska. I got family. I got friends. I got loved ones there. Friends in Colorado. I want to say welcome to you, and I hope you enjoy what the Lord has to speak to your hearts today. Our family in Kodiak Bible Chapel and in Kodiak, Alaska, we welcome you, and what a blessing to have you tune in today. And all the friends from New Song that I have not been able to connect with in such a long time or to see, it's going to be a warm day when we get together and we can have a cup of coffee or a chat or just a good hug. So what a blessing. Incredible fish. God gives us gifts, gives us the desires of our heart, and then he gives us the desire. He gives us the fish as well. That's a coho red salmon fresh out of the stream, just came in on the tide that morning, and he was full of life and fight as he ripped up fly rod, and so it was just incredible. The vista in behind me and on all corners were eagles chatting to one another and having just a glorious time, hoping I would leave enough distance between me and them so they could swoop in and have breakfast that morning. So that was our whole hope. I did not grant that hope to them that day. We brought that one home, and I think Pastor Jeff and Tracy got a slab of him. So that is one of the first of the season coho, or reds as they call them locally. And what a wonderful prize if you can get a hold of them. So let's pray this morning before I get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your goodness that's new this morning as it is every morning. Holy Spirit, come and anoint my words, anoint the thoughts that I have, anoint the scripture that I will speak out, because the scripture that you've given us, this book we call the Bible, the Old and New Testament, it's living and it's alive this morning, and it's new and fresh every time we open it, Lord. So, Lord, the words that we speak, may they come out and off the page in their homes, dear God, wherever they find themselves watching, even if it's on a cell phone at work this morning, dear Father. Just be with them, guide them, and bless them, and these words resonate true for them as well. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. The word that I believe the Lord has given me in my heart today, I really struggled with in the beginning, because I thought, Lord, it's so simple. And the Lord says, my word is simple. And I have always chosen the simple to go forth and to declare my glory, my goodness, my strength, my might. But he says it may be simple, but it's going to be very relevant for today, for what's going on in our world today and what's going on around about us. So I love that about the Lord. He never wastes an opportunity to touch the hearts of his sons and daughters. And most of all, this is God's word. This word continues to come alive every time. As a young child, as much as I hated it because it wasn't always presented properly or the way I thought I needed it, but this word from that time forward, when the Lord wants to speak, these words come and capture me off the page. And I love that, and I love the questions. And I love when people bring questions outside of the church realm. I can sit and talk to my grandkids, and we'll talk about Jonah in the well, and Papa, what was he doing in there all that time? Well, what do you think he was doing, number one? And they'll give me their ideas, and I says, this is what I would do, and if I had my multiplier, I'd think about cutting my way out. And they says, well, you'd ruin your ride. Well, I never thought about that. I just want to survive, and so as I thought about it, as I marinate on Jonah and the big fish, and how Jonah was kind of silly from trying to run from God. I reflect back on the times that I have tried to run away from God, hide my heart, my soul, my deeds from God, and yet God has found me out in many ways, and sometimes they're not so glamorous as I'm sure Jonah found as he was spit out upon the shore that day, kind of had seaweed hanging all over him, I'm sure, kind of smelt kind of maybe not so well, but maybe the Lord laid a banquet in there for him. I really don't know, but that'll be a great thing to find out maybe someday. But until then, I'm not going to worry about that. We'll go on and deal with the things that I have. So the number one line here, the simple line this morning is, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. And that's what Jesus told us. That didn't come from me. I'm repeating it. I can take you, I'm going to take you in a moment to John 16, verse 33, and you can look at it and rehearse and reread it for yourself and split that word of God and decide for yourself. But that's what Jesus told us. That's what Jesus, that evening, sitting around the table with his disciples, he told them, he says, in this world, gentlemen, you will have trouble. And you know what else? I can zip that word up here to today, and I can look across this island, audience this morning and say, in this world, ladies and gentlemen, you will have trouble. And as you've looked around us, as we see in the scope of what's going on in this world right now, we see trouble. We see men and women who are struggling. We see things in families that is going sideways and south, and people not getting along, and people wanting to push their agendas, and people just, wow, we're just not happy right now. I've traveled from here to Alaska, talked to many people on the phone around the country, and people are upset. People are not, they're not what you'd normally find them, their state in. And they're actually experiencing troubled spirits, troubled souls. So let's read John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me, this is Jesus talking, in me, Jesus, you may have peace. Well, how do we get in Jesus to have peace? That'll be part of what we get to talk about here this morning. In this world, you will have trouble. I mean, he was just bold and says, he says, gentlemen sitting around this table, people at New Song, those of you watching on the cameras and the TVs, in this world this morning, you will have troubles. But take heart. Have courage. Be an uplifted soul. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I, your Savior, have overcome the world. I, the one and only who can make all things possible, have overcome the world, have overcome your troubles, have overcome your heartache, have overcome what has come upon you. So then we look at what is trouble. What is trouble? Is it the economy collapsing? Is it your house burning down? Is it a divorce in your family? Is it that you've, this last year I lost a grandchild? This last year we lost a vehicle. This last year I've heard of men that have lost jobs. Yesterday, a friend of mine who I've known for about a year sent out to a group of brothers that were all on the same text feed. He says, my mother flew in yesterday from Las Vegas to visit. 9:30, she had a heart attack. 11:30, she passed away on me. His heart is broken. He has troubles in this world. But the messages that came in from his brothers to cheer him on, to lift him, to console him, to touch, the words of Jesus that they spoke to him brought peace, brought solace, brought just that sense of, wow, something The world says I should be, but I feel calm. I feel like things will be okay. Even though they don't look okay, my family's freaking out around me, but somehow they will be okay. And see, you guys are no strangers to this thing that I talk about here. You've all had tests, trials, tribulation, and troubles. And Jesus says, behold, I have overcome these things. And I've overcome these things so that I can lead the way and show you. See, you can't be taught something by someone who's never led the way. They can read you something out of a book and you say, that's nice. See, I can take you to Alaska now and I can show you the streams where the fish run. I can show you the pools we fished in and where the fish laid. You could actually see them in their laying and their layers. I can show you that because I've been there. I can read a book of how that happened for Lewis and Clark, and they can be very explicit, but I'll go back, and that just isn't the same as if I led you there. And that's what Jesus did. He led us, and he loved it so much. It was so fabulous. King James definition of trouble: to agitate, to disturb, to put into confused motion, to afflict, to busy, to tease, to vex. I've never said, hey, I've been vexed and I'm having a hard time dealing with that. No, let's go to what we know. I've been troubled. I've been agitated. I've been irritated. I'm confused. I'm all of these things. So let's just keep it simple this morning. Let's talk about a few people in our past who have been afflicted. Let's talk about Adam and Eve as they were cast out of the garden that day. Man, they knew nothing but paradise. They knew nothing but calm, peace. God would come down in the cool of the evening and walk with them. Wow, what a mind picture. That's all I can do is picture and hope for such a thing, but that's what they did. And then one day, they're cast outside of the gate of the garden, and now they're in an alien land. They have to figure out what they're going to eat and how they're going to eat. They're going to have to figure out how to till the land. They're going to have to figure out what it's like to have childbirth with pain and trembling. And they're going to have to figure out how Noah's going to figure out how I feed this pack that I'm about to produce and all of these things that are going on. So he had troubles. He had a disturbed spirit at times. Noah, go build a boat. Call all the people that want to come on board, all the friends that have labored and sweat and built this boat, and then the day came and everyone says, Noah, you're crazy. We knew you were crazy from the get-go. His spirit was troubled. He even had to coerce and call his own family. You need to get on the boat. I love that spiritual authority within that story of Noah as well. Job, Joseph, Moses, King David, Jonah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These all had many problems. Our Savior and Lord Jesus himself walked through many tests, trials, tribulations. He was troubled at times, not in the sense that he worried, but in the sense that men pressed hard against him. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to throw him off cliffs. They wanted to converge upon him. Yet he walked because he knew the Father, because he knew the answer, because he knew the way. He knew where his peace come from. For women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had a troubled soul. She heard the day that she was the Immaculate Conception came upon her that Jesus was going to be born and he was going to do great things. That begins the questions and the what ifs going. She watches the life of Jesus and sees him in those last 3 years as he walks out and they continue to press. She watches him as he's taken that night by the head priests and they begin to abuse and to disturb. They begin to tear, they begin to mock, they begin to do all these things. She knew troubles, as many of you mothers do. Mary and Martha, they knew troubles. The woman at the well came there was trying to just get there and get away because men aren't supposed to be there that time of day, and she runs face to face with the Savior. At that moment, her soul was troubled. What do I do? Now, did anybody have to tell her this was Jesus? No, I think she knew. I think her spirit told her that this is. And as she listened, as she learned, as she found that hope, that forgiveness, the peace that came upon her trouble came upon her, as we can all find as well. The woman caught in adultery, she knew she was had that day. They threw her in the middle of the courtyard. The men stood around with their stones, man. They had their chests puffed out. They had their robes. They had their beards all combed down. They were ready to pitch it at her. And Jesus places himself between him and her. He began to quiet her soul. Did she have any reason to trust men at that moment? No, she had not. Men had used her and abused her. But yet here comes Jesus, and he crouches down between her. He is the shield between her and the mob. Think back on your troubles and remember the moments that Jesus was the shield between you and the trouble that pressed hard against you. Where he wants, now whether you received it or not is another story. We don't always receive the gift of peace. We don't always receive the hour, the moment, the second that Jesus comes and kneels between us and our problem. There's times we reject that. There's time we as men especially, we're prideful and we want to figure this out on our own. And Jesus comes. John the Baptist, Peter and his disciples, man, Jesus had done read their mail and told them, hey, tonight I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be taken away, and you'll all reject me. You'll all be gone. You're all going to run home. No, we aren't, Lord. And he says, you will be gone. John the Beloved sat on the Isle of Patmos and overlooked what had been going on for so many years and seen the tyranny of what they've done. He was troubled. He wrote books about the trouble that was going on there. Stephen and Paul. As I've listed those names, it looks like the credits for a great movie that just played out, The Ten Commandments, The Life of Jesus, and just the names have gone down. But let me add some names to that. Let me add your name and your name and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. Here today, you will have troubles. You will be troubled. You will be pressed. But your name's on that list that has just rolled by in the credits. These are real men and women of the past that we almost act like they're stories and fairy tales. But no, they were real men and women who went through real acts. Just like you today are real men and women who get to face the real acts of I will see trouble, if not today, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the next day. I have seen it in the past. We've all had hard things that have pressed hard against our soul, that have made us ask questions. God, were you even there? God, do you even see? God, do you even know? And God says, yes, I've been there the whole time. I've been there to comfort you. I've been there to love you. I've been there to give you the peace to walk in if you'd receive it. And why does this all happen? Because sin entered the world, and it corrupted, and it came in, and it built a cancer, and it spreads like the virus has spread across this country. It spreads rapidly, and it has its season until we find the cure. And the cure for our trouble is our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that by the power of the Holy Spirit at any moment, at any time, in any, wherever I find myself. Jesus, the Word of God says, even if you make your place in the bed in Hades, I will come pursue you, says the Holy Spirit. Wow. See, there's no place I can go to hide that he won't come. He went after Jonah. Jonah paid his fare to go 2,500 miles away And he crawled down to the bottom of that ship, and this ship's being tossed and turned. Men are throwing stuff over. They're going crazy. They're hanging on for their lives. Cry out to your God if you have one. Somebody's got to have a God that'll save us. And he's sound asleep in the belly of that ship. Because he knows. He knows the inevitable, who's making what happen. So the captain goes down and wakes him up and says, how dare you go to sleep here in the midst of this? Well, we're all up here getting ready to perish, and you don't seem to care. Call upon your God if you have one and ask him. He says, I'm your problem. I'm your problem, boys. Pitch my carcass over the edge, and you will be okay. So they make haste. They trotted him up to take him captive. They run upstairs. They pitch him over, and he's goner, and there's calm. There's peace. And the captain, I know in his heart's going, wish we'd have known that earlier. We wouldn't have thrown all the goods over. We'd still have some money when we got done with this. But no. That ain't what happened. So Jonah did see trouble. The captain did see trouble. And they did call upon the Lord, the name of God, because he had to make peace at that moment. It isn't the way it needs to happen. But that's when most of us are, when we are in the midst of being pitched off the ship into the troubled waters. We could have made peace so much earlier. We could have walked in the peace. But no, we wait till, and we get swallowed by something bigger than us. We go through some nasty stuff. We don't know how it's all going to work out, but we wait. And then we get spit out at the other end, and we either go, man, I'm still a mess, or God, you spared me. You saved me at that crucial, beautiful moment. So we are in good company with those of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today, our past, our present, and our future. We will all have trouble because sin has entered the world. And sin has entered on the platform of as a stray that we have invited at the back porch. And it's a mean stray, and we've given it a glass of milk, you know, a little milk there. Everybody wants to feed a wildcat milk. I don't know what that is. They want to feed a wild raccoon. Let's feed him some scraps and some milk. And let's see if we can't tame him because he's cute. Well, it doesn't take long that the cuteness wears off when they start to snarl at you and they start to, and I'm not getting into the cat thing. Never mind. Let's keep moving. Could be a wild dog, could be a puppy, could be a lot of things. Could be a rabbit. Everybody tries to save a rabbit because they're cute and cuddly and fuzzy, but they'll scratch the dickens out of you. I know that happened. In this world, you will have troubles. Sin comes in as a stray, and we want to feed it thinking we can tame it. We've all done it the one way or the other, the sin in your life. Let's look at it and see how it came in as cute. It was funny. It was fun for a season. It was once. I deserve it. I made it a habit. It's that time of life for me to sow my wild oats. And at the end of it, it just continues. This tame thing begins to grow and grow and grow. And then one day it explodes all over you. Because at the end of the day, it's a wild creature. It's a wild animal. So let's remember sin for what it is and keep it in check. Why does Jesus promise in this world you will have trouble? Because he knew it was going to come, because he knew it was sin, and he wanted to be clear. So at the night when Jesus was sitting around the table with his disciples, he was letting them have his farewell discussion. He was trying to get across. And it's tough to get things across to people that don't understand all the details. Jesus had the picture before him, the mural on the wall of his heart. He could see what was coming. But his buddies, the guys he had walked with for 3 years, they could not see everything that Jesus had seen. And they were confused and they were wondering. And he says, yeah, guys, I'm gonna be arrested. I'm gonna be crucified. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna raise again. And then I'm going to bring hope to the world. And he said, by the way, you're all going to betray me tonight. You know, Peter the big mouth, who's like Bert the big mouth, says, no way, Lord. I will never do such a thing. He says, you will. You'll. But then when I come back and restore you, that's going to be a whole nother day. But by the way, you're going to do this. And let's let the night roll out. So the night rolls out and this happens. Jesus had troubles on that evening. The disciples were troubled that evening, and we know they all ran. They all were home hiding behind the door or sneaking around in the dark. They were troubled. They were harassed in their soul. But then Jesus doesn't only leave that there. He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Again, you can't be led nowhere. You can't be shown the things if you don't know. Jesus knew that he would. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew how it was going to walk out. And he knew that he would be able to give hope to the dying world. Andy Stanley, who's a friend of many who follow in church, he has this saying. He says, any man who can predict his death, his resurrection, his coming back again, and walking out this world, if he can predict that and pull it off, he's a man that I'm going to believe. And that's one of the things I believe. I believe Jesus did what he said he was going to do, still is here doing it today, and what a beautiful Lord we have in the midst. And I believe in him. So this morning, even as I've given you this, you've all walked through troubles, but there may be many questions still swirling in your minds and your hearts, and the how do I, and how do I let Jesus come in and walk in all of these things within my minds. There's a few steps that we'll start with today. Number one, repent and be saved. Folks, this morning, if you find yourself in the position that, you know what, I've never really asked Jesus into my heart and soul. I've never really reached deep and believed that it would make a difference. I brought up somewhat in church and thought it was kind of a fairy tale. Brought up and thought, I'll always have time to do it. I was brought up, and I remember this even as a young man, thinking that, you know what, I'll do it sometime down the road. I still have things I want to do. I still have things I want to try. I still have sin that I want to explore, if I can be so bold to say. That was me as a young man growing up in the church. But Jesus says, I need you to repent and be saved. So if that's where you find yourself this morning, you've never repented, you've never turned, you've never looked the other direction 180 degrees, and says, and it's simple. So no, we don't have to make a big spectacle out of it. But Jesus will make a big spectacle in heaven about it. So if that happens and you today want to just ask him, Lord, come into my heart and soul. I commit to you, Lord. I believe in you. I believe in everything that you say and do. I don't understand it, but I want to believe in it, and I want to do this morning. Please do that prayer silently in your seat with someone today. And if you do, come and let one of us know so that we can celebrate with you, so that we can help you walk through the next steps as we go. Number two, ground yourself in the Word of God. Wow, it is so beautiful that John 16:33, Jesus is quite clear. He says, I've told you these things so that you might have peace in me. So he's given us a message all the way through. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world for you. Lean on me. Lean on me And anyway, call out to me in your time of need. See, Jesus was clear again on that night with his disciples. He says, guys, I'm going to go away tonight. But when I do, I'm going to send you a comforter, the paraclete, the one that's closer than a brother that will sit with you, who will teach you and bring to remembrance all things. And his name alone, the comforter, says it all. In Ephesians 6, he says, put on the full armor of God. Why do you think he gave that to us? So that we could just have that's a nice thing to have in a book? No. He says, speak out loud, Bert, in the morning, evening, and night, anytime you need it. Put on the full breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, my feet that are shod with the gospel of peace. Oh, I love that one. Why? Because a guy like me can get myself into so much hot water at any given moment in life. And when them shoes, when I call upon him, I said, I don't know how to walk this out, Lord. He says, I'll be with you. He's speaking to my heart all the time. Now it's up to me to listen to him. And then he says, here's a shield of faith. the shield of faith. I mean, hang on to that thing, because it's made up of all the times, all the faith times that God has come to your rescue. Some of you might have a little one. Mine's massive. It's like a barn door, because God has come through time and time again. And now it's beginning to be layered out. And then he gives me the arm to carry it. And then he says, I have the sword of the Spirit, which will cut through the darkness of the enemy, and it'll go in and cut the chains that hold and bind. And these things aren't only for me. They're also for you if we sit together and we commune together. See, if you come into my home, you're under my full authority of honor and my armor, and I will protect you while you're there till my life is gone. But see, you can also carry that with yourself. Men, this is something you should be doing. Young men, this is something you should get in the habit of. Young women, you carry it on, but ask your daddy, will you not cover me? Will you not protect me? And I know men that do that. They pray for their women folk day in and day out that they can be the covering until they're married and have their own warrior to stand and cover them. And what a beautiful time that is. And then call upon the Holy Spirit, number three. Well, I can't express enough, and I can't take it deep enough that you need to believe, number one, in the Holy Spirit, that he'll come to your rescue. He's not just a figment of our imagination. He's not just a ghost out there. We call him the word is, you've been raised in church long enough, you've been called the Holy Ghost. He's been called a lot of things, and people have made him weird and all that, but he is such a gentle, loving, spiritual father within my life. And he comes and he teaches and he fights for me and he comforts me, and there's peace that flows from that. So keep that in mind this morning, that he's there 24/7 in the dark when there's no one else around. He's there when your mate has just rejected you in one way or other. And that doesn't mean your mate, when they reject you, it's all over. That just means right now we're not seeing eye to eye on nothing, and I need peace. That just means I got children that have rejected me and walked away, and I don't understand it, don't know how to fix it, but right now I have peace. I have a relationship with a friend that I have broken by saying something stupid, and see, I do that a lot. But the Holy Spirit will come and help patch that up in peace. He comes to my rescue. And then he gives you the whole word. So every word in here will come alive. So get in your Bible, find these words, and not only just think about them, believe in them. Because it's from your beliefs that your actions will follow. So keep that in mind this morning as we go forward. So I'm going to ask Mr. Glenn if you'll put some music on this morning. And if we can just take a few moments and stand, and as we stand, we're going to ask the Lord if he won't take these three things that we've talked about here. And if you have not repented and want to be saved, you ask that we will find ways, and he will show you, the Holy Spirit will even show you how to ground yourself in the living Word of God, not only for today, but into the future, not only for you, but as you sit and teach and lead others in this. And then teach others also, if you haven't got this down for yourself, you number one, but others, how to call upon the name of Christ through the Holy Spirit to come and comfort and to lead you in all these things. So we'll just give you a few moments, then I'll ask Pastor Jeff to come up and release you in this as we contemplate on this.
let's pray as we close today. Father, thank you for a good word that encourages our hearts in you. Lord, I'm so thankful that your word is so clear. It speaks truth. It's authentic. It's real. You've told us there'll be trouble. But in the same sense, you've told us there'll be comfort, that you'll be with us, that you'll help us to overcome, even in the midst of troubling, difficult times. And we thank you for that today. Go with us, lead us, guide us, let our lives count for you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Thanks for coming. And we love you all.